The impeachment inquiry is impacting the 2020 presidential race, just not in the way you might have thought.
We haven't really seen anything like this before.
And it's Jobs Friday. We'll have more on what to expect.
We're looking for job growth to pick up a bit from last month.
Plus, France grinds to a halt as a crippling strike hits. This is What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Kim Gittleson. Let's get started. Now, before we take a closer look at how impeachment is impacting Democratic presidential candidates, here's what you missed. 5,981. That's the number of U.S. reports of sexual assaults involving Uber drivers and passengers in 2017 and 2018. The company voluntarily released the safety data late yesterday. It's the first comprehensive review of safety issues involving Uber. These are problems that face not just Uber, but also other companies like Lyft and China's Didi. And it could be far bigger than reports like this suggest. Sexual assault is consistently underreported. Uber's chief legal officer, Tony West, said, quote, "In the United States alone, more than 45 rides on Uber happen every second. At that scale, we're not immune to society's most serious safety challenges." France has ground to a halt. A massive strike is currently underway over a proposed pension overhaul. Trains, subways, flights, and buses have all been disrupted. Even the Eiffel Tower was closed yesterday. From Paris, Naomi Bisserb has more.
Well, people went on strike because they're worried that they are going to be affected by the proposed overhaul of the pension system that French President Emmanuel Macron wants to implement this year. He has promised not to increase the legal age of retirement, which is 62 today in France, but he says that he wants to increase the number of years that people would be required to work to get a full pension. Today, you have to work about 43 years to get a full pension, and that might change tomorrow.
Amazon who? We're exclusively reporting that Facebook is in advanced talks to lease the landmark Farley Post Office building in New York City. It's a move that would make Facebook one of New York's largest corporate tenants, and it also helps to offset the economic loss of Amazon's decision to scrap its planned second headquarters in the city. In a statement, Facebook said, quote, "We believe New York is a vibrant market with a tremendous pool of talent." Other technology companies, including Google, Apple, and Spotify, have also increased their office footprint in New York over the past few years. Now, our main story this morning. It's our weekly look at where things stand in the 2020 presidential election. Today, we're going to examine how the impeachment inquiry is impacting the race. Yesterday, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said she'd instructed top Democrats to proceed with drawing up articles of impeachment against President Trump.
Sadly, but with confidence and humility, with allegiance to our founders and a heart full of love for America, today, I am asking our chairman to proceed with articles of impeachment.
The president has repeatedly denied wrongdoing. But the impeachment inquiry is doing more than just uniting Democrats against the president. It's actually impacting the primary race in another, perhaps counterintuitive way. Tarini Party has been on the campaign trail. So, Tarini, how has the impeachment inquiry been impacting the race?
Right. So impeachment has been a huge topic in Washington, but on the campaign trail, we weren't really hearing too much about it until this week when we heard that Senator Kamala Harris was dropping out of the presidential race. She said she didn't have the financial resources to continue, and impeachment actually played somewhat of a role in her calculation. Her senior aide told me that, you know, they didn't have money to run any ads, and which meant that if impeachment moved forward, she would have to be in Washington in January for a Senate trial. While she was off the campaign trail, they wanted to have ads airing in the early states so that she could still be able to connect with voters, and they just didn't have the money to get those ads, ad reservations going.
Is Senator Harris the only one who's been impacted this way?
So there are several senators running for president right now who are still in the race. They would have to do what Senator Harris's campaign was preparing for. We have Senator Booker, Senator Sanders, Senator Warren, Senator Klobuchar, Senator Bennett, all of these people who are going to have to return to Washington in January. This would be just weeks before the Iowa caucuses, which is the first nominating contest. In that critical period, they're going to have to be most likely in D.C. for a Senate trial and off the campaign trail.
I mean, is there any precedent for this?
We haven't seen an impeachment process, you know, during a president's reelection process. So we haven't really seen anything like this before. And the campaigns that I've talked to are, you know, they are somewhat worried about being off the campaign trail in that critical period. Senator Klobuchar has said that her family members and other surrogates would go on the campaign trail on her behalf while she's in Washington. But the reality is a lot of these campaigns are going to have to spend a lot of money airing ads to sort of replace them, you know, while they're in Washington.
Every Friday up until November 3rd, 2020, we'll continue to keep you updated on the latest in the election. If you have any questions, let us know. You can email us at whatsnews, all one word, at WSJ.com or tweet us at WSJ Podcasts. In the meantime, you can find all of our election 2020 coverage up on WSJ.com. On to markets. The world's most profitable company is now set for the world's largest IPO. Yesterday, Saudi Aramco priced its long-awaited listing, valuing the company at $1.7 trillion. Finance editor Alex Frangos has more.
So the range that they had put out in like last week was, you know, that the valuation of the IPO was going to be between $1.3 trillion and $1.7 trillion. It hit the top end of that range, so you could call that a success. But that range is well below what they were talking about for the last couple of years, which is this kind of iconic $2 trillion valuation number that the Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman had said he really, really wanted. In the end, investors just weren't willing to pay that. And in fact, what Aramco did is they did not make the offering to, you know, international investors broadly, ended up being really local, domestic Saudi investors who put their money on the line for this. This is all going to come to a test next week when the shares actually start trading. Will the public markets really value it at $1.7 trillion, or will the shares drop, or will they go higher? We don't really know, but there's a lot on the line because all these local Saudi investors, people who've bought shares, you know, ordered shares through their ATM machines, you know, they put their savings into this, and if the shares go down, you know, they might be pretty angry.
And here's what else we're paying attention to today. It's the first Friday of the month, which means, of course, that it is Jobs Day. From Washington, Eric Morath has more on what to expect in the November jobs report.
Well, we're looking for job growth to pick up a bit from last month, and we're looking for the unemployment rate to hold at near a 50-year low. But those numbers are pretty positive on their face, come with a few caveats, one being that we talked about a month ago, the General Motors strike removed folks from payrolls in October. Well, they came back, the strike ended, and they're back to work. And so, you know, 40,000 of the 187,000 jobs that economists expect were added to the economy are just people going back to work after a strike. So when you back that out, the number, you know, is definitely looks a little soft compared to where we were a year ago.
We'll have the numbers and analysis for you in our afternoon edition. Finally, James Bond had one, and now it turns out that you can have one too, even if you're not an international man of mystery. It's a metal credit card. Sorry if that's disappointing. We're reporting that metal credit cards used to just be restricted to the elite, like the Amex Black Card. But now, like so many other luxuries, they've started to trickle down the income stream. Capital One and other banks have started adding metal to some of their credit cards, with the idea that the hefty feel makes us feel special and maybe motivates us to spend a bit more. But just in case you're rushing to dial up your bank, we should warn you. Most banks don't let you swap your dinky plastic card for a metal one. You've got to sign up outright. That's what's news from the Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.